The Tom Woods Show, episode 2099.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey, everybody. I'm giving away three free courses from my Liberty Classroom. One of them is ex-Marxist Michael Rechtenwald teaching you about critical theory so you can understand leftism and fight it better, as well as our course on how Alexander Hamilton screwed up America and the history of the conservative and libertarian movements. Check it out at 3freecourses.com. Hey everybody, Tom Woods here. Glad to be joined once again by our old friend, John Bush. And I've known John since the first Ron Paul presidential campaign. He's one of these people with such a youthful face. You look at him now, you think, what is he, like 21? Well then, okay. But then when I met him with the Ron Paul campaign, what was he, 8? So anyway, but he's got that youthful vigor and enthusiasm also. It's not just the face. And what he's up to lately is trying to think about big picture questions, like where do we go from here in our society? What do we do right now to make things better for us? Not just react constantly to what other people are doing to us and what other institutions are doing to us, but can we build something? Can we exit these bad institutions and build something better? Now, sometimes that could take the form of exiting the cities and moving into the country and building something there. But it can also refer to other forms of exiting and building. So John is working hard on this, and he's got a big event coming up where he and other speakers are going to talk about it. So I want to talk about that with him today. So John, welcome back.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me again.
Doggone it. You are always up to something. You know, and by the way, I like people who are up to something because, as I've said multiple times on this show, I need 5 episodes a week. So I need people who are doing multiple things so I can have them on to talk about them. And you're doing interesting things. And I have to say, this particular thing that you're doing with the Exit and Build project, this is something that I myself can't really see myself doing. But yet, I have an audience filled with people who are determined to do exactly what you're proposing. I don't think I could do it. And maybe there'll come a time when I will come crawling back to you and those of you who have done this sort of thing and say, I was wrong. Now, please let me live in your secure house out here in the country. You know, that could happen. I just figure if I make enough friends through the podcast, somebody will want to take me in someday if the S should ever HTF. So, start off by explaining what exactly is your vision here with this project.
Okay, so we're hosting our second annual, it'll turn into an annual thing, Exit and Build Land Summit, Exit and Build Land Summit number 2. It's a 3-day event, and the whole idea is to bring together folks in person. We're going to have approximately 500 people in the flesh here in Bastrop, Texas. There's also a virtual component for the folks that can't make it. But we're hoping really to educate, inspire, and empower people so they can make what we call the urban exit. They can exit the big cities where most of the authoritarianism is taking place, where a bunch of this new founded technocracy is being rolled out. They can exit the cities and buy land, buy homesteads, and ultimately build community in the country, whether that's your own homestead that you own privately and you link up with your neighbors and this guy's got the chickens and the homeschool co-ops on their property over there, or we purchase land cooperatively and actually build a traditional intentional community. My overall goal is to bring people along, further along on this vision. So someday in the not so distant future, maybe distant, I don't know, hopefully it doesn't take a generation, but the idea is that we can create some real political autonomy by moving ourselves outside of the cities, by creating parallel institutions, and by asserting our strength in numbers and declaring a little independence one of these days.
There are 3 key words in that I want to explore one at a time. Exit, build, and land. So let's start with exit.
Okay.
First of all, what are you exiting? And why is it urgently necessary to do so? Or at least one could make a strong case that it's a good idea to do so.
Sure. Well, as you know, maybe your audience knows, I've been an activist for quite a long time, almost 20 years now, and I've done the politics, done the door knocking, the sign hanging, the protesting, even had legislation passed in the city and state level, and it just wasn't satisfactory for me. We were having what seemed like victories, but in reality, we were simply slowing the growth of tyranny, right? Now, there's all sorts of other strategies for creating freedom and creating a better world. More recently, the folks up in Canada did this Occupy the Town Square strategy, right, with the Freedom Convoy. More power to them. I was totally in solidarity with that movement. But at the end of the day, it's like, okay, great. Now we're here in front of the Parliament building. What are we going to do now, right? People got arrested and their bank accounts shut down. So the whole strategy of exit and build, right, it was actually Derek Brose, who you had on your show not too long ago. He came up with this concept of exit and build. And instead of working within the system, instead of yelling at government buildings, the idea is to exit those institutions, which we find to be objectionable, unethical, frankly, pretty useless. Exit those institutions and build the alternatives. So exit the centralized, build the decentralized. Exit the coercive, build the voluntary. Exit the corrupt and surveillance institutions and build the privacy and transparent institutions. That's really what it's all about, this exit and build strategy. It's what we push for with the Greater Reset, this big event that we did recently, and it's the philosophy and strategy of the Freedom Cell Network. And this exit and build land summit is about exiting the cities specifically and finding greener pastures in the country. So yeah, the exit is like, let's leave these institutions, let's build parallels. Perfect example is exit the banking system and use cryptocurrency, or exit government schools and put your kids in a like-minded private school or a homeschool cooperative, right? And so the exiting is the leaving, the opting out of, and the building is the creating of these alternative institutions, which will hopefully someday insulate us or at least allow us to maintain a solid standard of living and quality of life without relying on these corrupt institutions.
Okay, so the idea then can have multiple meanings apart from the very literal one of physically exiting a location and then literally building something on a piece of land, even though that is a major component of what you're talking about. It also involves a kind of personal, economic, spiritual, philosophical secession from a lot of oppressive structures, as you mentioned, the school system and other things. So in terms of building, well, is the idea that your event is going to help guide me through this? Because if I were inclined to do something like what you're describing, I wouldn't know where to start. Where and how do I buy land? And if I'm going to try to build a community, where do I find people?
Yeah. And so, like I was saying, Derek is the one that kind of coined the term. When he originally coined it, it was talking about your geographic location, right? So having Joel Skousen speak, I know he was part of your School of Life thing recently.
That guy just blows me away, Joel Skousen. One of the most impressive people I've ever heard speak, honestly.
Yeah, he's old school. We're super honored to have him. It originated as this exit your geographic location. You either hunker down and fight or build community or do politics in your area, or you exit where you live and build elsewhere. But then I kind of took it and expanded upon it to be that, you know, exit the matrix, build the alternative, build the free society. And then this summit that we're doing, it has more of the emphasis on the whole land aspect. So yeah, there's a lot of people, you know, in the early libertarian days and my involvement with like the unschooling community, and now this, you know, pushing back on the Greater Reset, and we have these, or the Great Reset with the Greater Reset, and we have all this crazy COVID stuff. There's this common theme with a lot of people that I've met, myself included, where they want to live in a community. They want to have an intentional community kind of lifestyle where the kids are raised together. People work together in the garden. There's even, you know, it doesn't have to be like old school homesteading style, although that's cool too, but we could have co-ops where we do our works and co-working spaces. But yeah, the goal is to help people along on this journey. My fiance and I recently purchased 10 acres in Bastrop County, which is just east of Austin. So we're not just putting this event together, you know, as some cheerleading thing. Like, we've actually done it. And it was quite challenging, actually. It took a whole lot of work, saving up for the down payment, putting the offers in, and the housing market all over is crazy, but it's really nuts here in Central Texas. But we managed to move out. I lived in the city of Austin my entire life. And I tell you, it's quite a different experience living in this rural community. No traffic, everyone's friendly. The neighbors are super friendly and helpful. And they also buck the COVID regime and and see through all the vaccine stuff, although for different reasons. They're like, you know, this vaccine thing's the mark of the beast, right? You ever read the book of Revelations? And I was like, all right, these guys get it. But yeah, through the event, we're definitely going to be helping people with strategies, with tips, tools, and tactics. And we've assembled an all-star cast of speakers that are definitely going to show people the way.
Are there particular places in the country that you are going to recommend to people would be the best for them in one way or another? Now, obviously, Joel Skousen has a lot to say in terms of places that would be the safest in case of, let's say, massive civil unrest or some kind of unforeseen or foreseen disaster. He's got all kinds of ideas, different parts of the country, different places within states. It's good to live here, not there. But do you, John Bush, have thoughts about places that would make sense for various reasons for people to be looking?
Yeah, most definitely. And this was already something that we ought to have been thinking of. And of course, Joel takes it really deep as far as like proximity to nuclear plants and which places are more vulnerable for a terror attack and natural disasters, all that stuff. But I think this topic really has gotten extremely important in large part after COVID, right? All these crazy mandates and lockdowns and just how far certain jurisdictions were willing to take this was very, very illuminating. I mean, look at Canada, our neighbors just to the north. They still can't even leave the country unless they have a vaccine pass. It's pretty frightening. So yeah, I think it's really important nowadays. And there's definitely some places that I recommend over others. In fact, we put together a report with the top 8 places that we recommend. It's a bonus for purchasing the event, but selfishly, but also in truth, I think Central Texas is a really great place to be. Texas in general is a wonderful state as far as the relative freedom, the economic freedom is through the charts. And there's a culture here in Texas and in the South in general. Florida's got it too, this kind of rugged individualist. It's like Ernest Hancock used to say, there's 2 types of people in this world, those that want to be left alone and those that just won't leave you alone. And thankfully, a lot of people in the rural areas, at least, not in Dallas, Houston, or Austin by any means, but in the rural areas in Texas, a lot of people are just, they go along to get along. They're always there to lend a helping hand. And so that's something that's important. And what I think to be is the most important factor as far as where someone should move to if they do want to exit their home or their city where they live now is the community that's there. When you have like-minded people that are on the same page, that are solutions and action-oriented, it really makes a world of difference, the freedom that you're able to experience. There's so many people that they stay locked behind the computer because they just don't have the community to go. They feel isolated or feel different, or maybe they have their nose in the air and they think they're superior to everyone else because they listen to the Tom Woods podcast or they go to Infowars.com or something. But when you get together with like-minded people, it really makes a big difference. And so that's one of the reasons why I'm big on Central Texas. We have like over 700 people in the local Freedom Cell community. And then, of course, Florida is a close second. I love Florida. We go to Florida often. We go to Miami. My fiance's parents live in Florida. I'm a big fan of DeSantis. I'm not a big government guy. I'm not a big politics guy, but I just like what the guy has to say. And after COVID, it really makes a big difference who is in charge of the government. I'm also fond of Mexico. Right. A lot of people have this scary image of Mexico. And, you know, if you don't play your cards right and if you're foolish, you know, you could get yourself in trouble or get robbed. But in general, the central government in Mexico is very weak. The people have their own institution of community and family that rivals the government. Like the Freedom Cell community in Mexico, it's really mind-boggling how grown it is and how connected it is. So those are just 3 places that I like. I'm a big fan of the Free State Project as well.
What, if any, is the connection between what you envision and being a so-called prepper?
Well, you know, with the Freedom Cell Network, which we talked about in the past, and with the Freedom Cell Network, by the way, the Central Texas Freedom Cell Network is co-hosting this event along with my company, Live Free Academy. We encourage, as like a foundation for our activism and just for our awareness, preparedness beyond a reasonable doubt. It's absolutely important. It's something that we've been banging on for years now. And now we have all the supply chain crisis, the inflation, you know, and lockdowns. It's nuts. So there'll definitely be a component of food production, preparedness, saving seeds, off-grid technology. I think, honestly, nothing could be more important at this point, making sure that you have those basics met. And then from there, it's like, all right, we have that foundation laid. We feel at least somewhat comfortable. If crap were to really hit the fan, we'd have some food to feed our family. We'd have some defenses. We'd be able to keep the electricity going. And then we can go on and kind of philosophize or strategize or vision what a better future might look like. So yeah, there'll definitely be a lot of preparedness discussions and tactics shared as well.
What do you say to a guy like me? Now, of course, you know you're not going to get the whole world to do this, and you're not looking to get the whole world to do it. But I'm very sympathetic to what you want to do, but I want to eat at a fine dining restaurant. I want to go see a play performed. I want to go to a concert. I want to do all these things, and I don't want to be 3 hours away from everything. Am I just out of luck?
No, you're fine, Tom. That was what I was thinking too. Like, we'll get Tom on the Intentional Community when we open a fine steakhouse.
Then yeah.
He'll join us then. No, so I always encourage people, it all just depends on where they're coming from, right? It's not a one-size-fits-all thing by any means. It's just the idea that we ought to move out of the big city centers, out on the outskirts of town where there's a little bit more freedom, where we have opportunity to do some homesteading and some food production, where it's just a different vibe, and especially outside of the COVID regime, right? But we chose to move to Bastrop County. So we're still about a 30 to 40 minute drive from downtown Austin. And now we're anchored to this smaller town. It's got about 9,000 people, but there's a couple places you could get a really good steak. And that's not going to be Morton's or anything super fancy like that, but there are some good spots here. So it just all depends on where people are at in life. So maybe there's the retired couple. They don't mind being further out. Or maybe there's the family that has children too, and they want the kids to be involved with some local activities. Like my daughter does dance competitions and recitals in town as well. But you know, sometimes at least when you get 30 to 45 minutes out of the big city, it starts to open up a bit, but you can still be anchored close to a city. But to be honest, our ultimate vision, and it's going to take a lot of work, we have Mark Fraser of the Startup Societies coming to speak. Our ultimate vision is to have like our own little booming and bustling mini cities, like futuristic sovereign cities where we have arts and we have meals and entertainment and we have our own school system. Like most of my property tax goes to pay the local school district, but my kids are homeschooled. I'd much rather that money get diverted to a local homeschool cooperative that we're supporting.
I'm just thinking way ahead. Let's suppose you're successful. The problem is the destroyers love to destroy nice, peaceful, successful places. Any place where there is quiet and repose, they want to introduce turmoil and dissension. So how do you, after you go to all this trouble of building something beautiful and amazing, how do you prevent it from being wrecked again by the same people who just wreck everything they touch?
Well, that's a great question. A lot of it has to do with building these parallel institutions, these parallel frameworks, these parallel systems. So the idea is to be really conscious and aware of the weaknesses and the pain points that the technocrats and the tyrants and even just petty bureaucrats seek to exploit, right? So food production obviously is a huge one. So is being off the grid. So is our own economy, really. It's more than just cryptocurrency, because that's just the easy fad answer. Just cryptocurrency is the alternative, but it has a lot more to do with the human relationships. Like when you have a plumbing issue, who do you go to first, the yellow pages or the black and yellow pages? It's about having a barter network. It's about employing one another. It's about supporting one another financially whenever we have wants and needs to do that through entrepreneurship and economically, right? And so the idea is we can create an environment where we're less susceptible to the whims of the politicians and we're able to weather the storm, or more importantly, to live a life that's more in alignment with our nature as humans, right? And it's not total Luddite or anything like that. I enjoy technology and we want to use technology to thrive better. But then the political element, so this is how I see it panning out. And mind you, I've explored all the different strategies and the politics and this, that, and the other, but it all centers really around strength in numbers. So the idea is once we have enough people, and once those people have put in the hard work of insulating ourselves and creating our own systems to where we're hardly even using the systems of the state, right? Except for maybe the roads. We're able to essentially have a little secessionist movement. But here's the challenge. Like, the property tax is going to be a challenge. Obviously, the income tax will be a challenge. But I would argue property tax is going to be even more challenging than income tax if we're using our own currency, trading amongst ourselves, employing one another. But my vision, unlike a lot of folks, where they're like, we're going to go into the county and we're going to take over the county, they fail to recognize that there's a multi-generational good old boy network in place, even in the smallest of towns and communities. So rather than come in and try to take over, my vision is to come into the community and to add immense value. Or as one of my early mentors said from back in the early Ron Paul days in 2008, we did a lot of activism here in Central Texas, but he said, we ought to build shared value based on shared values. And we took that into our political activism, just like Murray Rothbard talked about this idea of having a tight libertarian cadre, and then you do single issue coalitions with the other political factions based on where you have overlap and commonality. My vision is to go provide value to the community. Like here in Bastrop, we went to their little town Christmas tree trail of lights thing. And I'm used to the one in Austin, which is just, I don't know how much it must cost and how you got to wait in your car in line forever because Austin is just so maxed out the population. We went to Bastrop and it was like, there's hardly a Christmas tree. There's some tiny little light fixtures and stuff. And I had a vision like, okay, one of these days when I make a little more money, I want to come to the city and say, hey, I'd like to gift you guys a great big grand Christmas tree that has this incredible light fixture, so on and so forth, right? And the idea is like, you're a part of the community. You go to the town fair, you go to the event at the town square, you participate in the Christmas, the kids are intertwined in the community. It's not like we're Branch Davidians or Ruby Ridge where we're kind of isolated and a little bit strange. No, we're good members of the community. That way, when it comes time for us to have a conversation with the local bureaucracy or even the state government, as far as what this transition to autonomy is going to look like, it's not such an easy decision to simply crush us, right? That's how I see it panning out, at least. And it's going to take a whole lot of people, of course. Now, imagine 25,000 people in a given jurisdiction all on the same page, most of which have already decoupled themselves from their institutions almost entirely. I think it makes it an easier sell when we're already mostly doing our own thing.
I wonder if I should ask this. Maybe this is too personal of a question. You tell me to jump in a lake if you want to, but I'm just curious. This may be somewhat random, but are you unbanked, so-called?
No. No, my good friend Derek Bros is. So, okay. You know, we do the exit and build thing, right? And Derek Bros, for example, he doesn't have kids, right? He travels a lot. He's been an activist. He's completely unbanked. No bank whatsoever. In fact, the very first cryptocurrency transaction that I ever did was paying him, this must have been 10 years ago. I paid him, maybe 8 years ago or so. I paid him to write for this new service I did. And he's like, well, I don't do credit cards. I don't do PayPal. I don't have a bank. So I was going to the HEB, the local grocery store, and wiring him money, Western Union, and paying like 7 or 8%. So I was like, why don't I just try Bitcoin? I'm always talking about it and learning about it. So, but me, on the other hand, I'm trying to build a multi-million dollar empire here and use that money to further this vision that I'm talking about and to buy land and to help. Like, we want to have a world-class event center and a space for the homeschool co-op to meet and to put on our big events and stuff. And so the whole exit and build thing, it's like exit, complete autonomy is the ultimate goal of the exit and build elsewhere. But for some folks that maybe have a 401k, or they have a mortgage, or they have kids in a good school they don't want to abandon, we flip it around. So it's not exit first and then build. It's build the alternatives so we may exit and exit in a more simple way that's less risk to the assets that someone has built or whatnot. So it's kind of an inside-outside game kind of deal, but I'd like to adopt the long view and recognize that the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. We're not expecting to create political autonomy overnight. But we do want to put our pawns and put, nobody's a pawn, right? But we want to put our pieces into play so that in the future, when we've all exited, when we've built those institutions that make it easy for someone of, you know, higher financial status to transition to this sovereign position, we're able to do so more seamlessly.
Hey everybody, let's take just a minute to remind you that there are so many things that people can struggle with, like anxiety and depression and stress and relationship issues, and they afflict us for so long and so regularly that we come to assume that this is just part of life, that there's nothing we can do about this. This is just our fate. In fact, we're so caught in it that the very question of whether it could be avoided, whether there's anything that could be done about it, sometimes doesn't even cross our minds. Well, Woods is here to tell you that there is help in the form of our sponsor, BetterHelp. BetterHelp will figure out exactly what it is you need, match you up with a licensed professional therapist who specializes in what you need. It's convenient, professional, and affordable. You can check out the ton of testimonials on their website. And by the way, just in case they don't fix you up with your perfect therapeutic match, they'll get you another one. So many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/woods. Join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/woods. What I like about what you're doing in particular is that it's action-oriented. It's not that you're going to sit around talking about theory or about individual sovereignty and just leave it there. And that's it. We had a little conference and then we go home and nothing comes out of it. It's hands-on and practical. And that's what I have been little by little, as you know, shifting my own efforts into. Let's get people's lives improved in a world that hates them. And there are many ways you can do that. And most of them don't involve doing nothing but talk about the non-aggression principle all day. Now, there are certain implications, I think, of the non-aggression principle that can be applied to other areas, that can be applied to parenting and to education and even to sales. I mean, even, you know, just the idea that if I have something that you want, you have something that I want, that's what makes us trade. Well, you bear that in mind and that helps you be a better salesman. It helps you write better copy. There are a lot of implicit little nuggets of wisdom in the non-aggression principle, but I don't want to keep it just some abstract, dusty old bit of philosophy. I want to do things and your event is action-oriented. So having said that, now I want to know what would be specific actions that people would begin to be able to take if they attended your event either in person or virtually.
Sure. Yeah. And I think it's, I don't know if it's like a libertarian maturity thing. When you first get involved, you dive deep into all the books and you read all of Tom Woods's books, of course, they're staples, you know, the Murray Rothbard and all the stuff. And it's like, it's pretty exciting. It's like, wow, this actually makes sense. And so it resonates with people, but a lot of people kind of just get stuck there in that space of hashing it out and a lot of what ifs, and there's all these hypotheticals of like, what would it be like if this would happen? Well, that doesn't work along with this. And it's like, we actually want to experiment and give it a shot and show people that freedom works. David Friedman has this book, Machinery of Freedom, and he talks about different ways to educate people, public speaking, writing books, essays. And he said one of the best ways to teach them that freedom works is to show them. And so we're hoping to demonstrate, like create a microcosm of freedom so other people can experience it. And, you know, other people have said that this exit and build strategy is escapism or retreatism or some form of defeatism. I think nothing could be further from the truth. I think what we're doing here is showing people that there's a different way to live so that hopefully as we do it and live better and experience high quality life with the kids playing together and eating high organic food, you know, nutrient dense organic food, people start to notice like, oh, why are those people so happy? They're frolicking in the freaking meadow and they look like they're having the time of their life. They've lowered their tax burden and in some instances lowered it down to zero. I want some of what they're smoking, literally and figuratively. But yeah, we are going to show folks how to produce their own food. Food production is going to be a huge part of it. We have a lot of really expert permaculture speakers like Paul Wheaton. He's one of the big names in the permaculture community for a while now. Marjorie Wildcraft. Of course, we have Joel Salatin. He's our headline speaker. He spoke at the first one. If folks aren't familiar with his work, he's quite the hoot and he's quite the rebel when it comes to freedom too. He's one that actually lives free. So we're going to teach people about growing their own food, food production systems. We have some folks that are doing this new innovative solar panel system as well. We're going to teach people about getting off the grid. And one of the big challenges that people have is how to actually go about buying land. And what's even more difficult is how to purchase land cooperatively. We invited this woman named Diana Leaf Christian. She's basically the world's leading expert when it comes to intentional community. But she's going to talk a lot and do workshops on the actual legal structure, because that's where it really gets complicated. And I think a lot of people, it's a barrier to entry. Like, okay, well, how do we protect ourselves? Are we going to hold some of the land in common? We're going to have private property over here, but is this going to be a private membership association or some sort of trust? There's a lot of questions that go into that. So we're going to teach people not only the ins and outs of financing on your own. Sometimes it's more difficult to finance raw land than financing a home on the land, right? But also that big challenge of purchasing land cooperatively. What exactly does that look like? We're going to talk about how to make decisions with your community. Sociocracy is a big popular means of decision making. It's not necessarily consensus per se, but it's like where people have their own little sectors of decision making. It's not authoritarian, it's more horizontal. So that's super exciting. We're going to be talking about alternative forms of education. Like I shared before, one of my visions is to have our own school system where people can contribute voluntarily, of course, and the money, instead of going to the government schools, it goes to supplement the homeschool cooperatives or to pitch in on the Liberty Classroom curriculum or whatever, right? And we have Michael Strong. He's actually an entrepreneur in the educational space that has started multiple different schools. They're like startup schools that really cater to the kids' needs so much better than government education. His wife, Magat Wade, is a wonderful human being that's doing a lot of work to help alleviate poverty in Africa, that's centered around entrepreneurship and how entrepreneurship can help lift up the masses and folks in poverty and provide all sorts of new opportunity. So she's going to be speaking to us about entrepreneurship and how entrepreneurship can be a vehicle for those folks that think they could never buy land or never do this vision because they just don't have the resources, right? And you know, one of the things that I try to do consciously is as I'm typing up the copy, as you know, like doing emails and copy on the landing page and just putting together this event, I'm consciously trying to precipitate people's objections. Because everyone has this soundtrack in their head. And when you're like, we should buy land and move out to the country, it'd be really great. We can build these networks. People automatically just start bringing up the limiting beliefs and the objections, right? I think people have just kind of been programmed to do that. I reprogrammed myself instead of have objections like that to think of how it can work and what can I do in order to make this happen, right? But we're trying to make it so if people think this resonates with them in any semblance, we want to provide speakers and strategies that can help knock out those barriers so they can clear the path to actually doing something like this. Because there's a lot of people that want to do it. Been talking with them for the past 15 years. People want to do this, but for one reason or another, they just can't get it done. So we're hoping to grease the wheels and help them get over the finish line with some of these projects.
Well, sounds excellent. So I hope people will check it out. First couple of days, if you attend virtually, you can attend for free. And the link is, I've got, of course, a short, easy, remember, tomwoods.com/exit. So go check out tomwoods.com/exit. But if you can get there in person, why not? Because even before you even get started on this journey, you can know some like-minded people who are thinking the way you are about the challenges that we're facing today. So tomwoods.com/exit is where to go to find out about the Exit and Build Land Summit Part 2. This is the second. So first of all, say a word about how did the first one go? I mean, I assume it was successful.
Yeah, the first one was a huge hit. We did it November 6th, 2021. We had over 25,000 people register. There were 19,000 views during the live stream, which was pretty freaking exciting. We had like 1,000 people that were doing the paid stream. We sold out the event in 2 weeks and we only had room for 100 people. That's part of the reason why we're going even bigger this time around. So we strongly encourage folks to join us in person. There's going to be 500 people all on the same wavelength, and it's going to be really special. I don't know if folks haven't done events in a while, or anytime you go to these events, they're really, really magical. It's going to be a great networking opportunity as well. Plus, every day, if you go in person, your ticket includes a lunch, and that lunch is going to be from a local restaurant, and we're also going to have some farm-to-table lunches where all of the food is sourced from local ranches and local farms. So we're super excited about that. And, you know, I just want to be clear with folks, like whenever I have an opportunity to share these ideas or invite people to events, I go for the gold. Like I share the vision that I have for the future, which is creating these autonomous, I call it the Confederation of Freedom Cell Communities. But for folks that don't want to take it that far, or maybe it seems a little overwhelming or anxiety inducing to contemplate how we can avoid our property tax in the future through our sheer strength and numbers, whatever, you don't have to take it that far. If it resonates, the idea resonates with folks to get back to the land, to have more of a rural lifestyle, right? To go be able to walk around the town square, to raise your kids together in homeschool co-ops, or to become more self-sufficient, then there's going to be a lot for everybody, no matter how far you want to take it. But meanwhile, I'm trying to recruit people and to join this vision so we can actually make it happen. And hopefully we can make it happen in my lifetime, if not my lifetime, at least my children's lifetime. It's happened before. I don't see why it won't happen again.
Well, all people have to do is attend and talk and think it over. And as I say, I know some of the people who are actually going to be presenting there. And one of them has been a guest on the Tom Woods Show, and another one was in my School of Life program. That's Joel Skousen. And I love these people. I think a lot of listeners of the Tom Woods Show will know who Joel Salatin is, and they'll know who Joel Skousen is. They'll know these people are real. And frankly, they should know who John Bush is, doggone it. You've been around for so darn long. You know, if John Bush is doing it, it's all right. So everybody check out tomwoods.com/exit. And I hope it's a huge success for you, John. Tell me the exact dates again.
May 13th through the 15th, May 13th through the 15th. Anybody can register and watch day one and two absolutely free, no cost whatsoever. Just will cost you your email address. And then if you want to dive deeper, you can participate in day three virtually. You'll be able to ask questions of the speakers. You'll get access to all the replays. There's some really sweet bonuses we threw in. And then, of course, the best way to experience this event is to join us in person in Bastrop, Texas. All the details on the food and the flights and the hotels are there once you decide to get a ticket.
Excellent. Okay. So while you're thinking about it, even though it's in May and we're recording this at the beginning of April, do it now while you're thinking about it. Because if you're like me, if you don't do it while you're thinking about it, you won't do it. So you got to go do it right now. TomWoods.com/exit. Well, good luck, John. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
All right, everybody, since we're talking about this and talking about institutions that we realize are doing us harm, the government's lousy schools, which do such a terrible job, are more vulnerable now than they've ever been because of the combination of COVID and CRT and teaching kids crazy things. So we're uniquely positioned, perhaps, to make some gains in that area, some gains that will obviously do children a huge, huge amount of good. And James Ostrowski has a brand new book on this called Free the Children. We're going to be talking to him tomorrow. So you see, you just can't miss. And how could you imagine missing an episode of the Tom Woods Show? How do you carry on? I don't know. Well, you won't have to because you're going to remind yourself tomorrow, I got to listen to that Jim Ostrowski episode. Absolutely. So thanks so much for joining me today, everybody. Remember tomwoods.com/exit, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.